And now, from the diamond to the dugout, it's the Twins Nation Podcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host.
This is Joe and Matt again. How are you doing this weekend, Matt?
Pretty good. Got to watch a little bit of baseball, and I'll tell you what, though, some of them AL West games were pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. The only thing that would have made them crazier is if Seattle would have won on Saturday, but...
Yeah, that's what I was kind of shooting for. I remember when I texted you because I was kind of having a sort of date night.
Sure.
And visiting my brother who bartends there. So we were sitting at, you know, we ate dinner and then we were sitting at the bar watching the ball game. And yeah, so that's why I was asking you questions. It's like, who are we cheering for in this again? I kind of forgot. I was like, I'm thinking Seattle.
Yeah, but at the same time, when I was going through Twitter and stuff, people were reminding me that maybe Houston wouldn't have been the worst matchup because since Verlander had to pitch Saturday, he wouldn't line up to pitch probably the first two games of the series.
Yeah, true.
So, but
that lineup of theirs is that lineup kind of scares me. So,
and they're playing a lot better than they were when we faced them.
By far.
So that's the way it is. Anyways, so let's tell the people, I guess, if you haven't heard. The regular season is now over. Twins finish at 87-75, winning the AL Central. And they will, having the worst record of the division winners, they do have to play in the wild card round. And they will face the Toronto Blue Jays starting on Tuesday. And Dan Hayes of The Athletic reports that their game will start at 3:38 local time. All of their games in that series. And it's a three-game series, or best-of-three-game series. So we'll see how that goes. The rest of the matchups for that wildcard round in the American League, the other one is the Rangers and the Tampa Bay Rays, and in the National League, it's the Miami Marlins and the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Diamondbacks play the Brewers. And all of those games are on the first games of those series are all on Tuesday. The other teams to make the playoffs, the Orioles, Astros, Braves, and Dodgers, all get first-round byes, so they will await their opponent for the division series out of the wild card round. So, what do you think about the matchup there? You think?
I was kind of like we were just discussing, was kind of hoping for Seattle or Texas, but I think we'll do all right. I definitely think we can get at least one game, but hey, two would be really great, but that starts small right away. I know that the Blue Jays are probably going to obviously put Gausman, Berríos, and I don't know why I can't think of the other name right now. But
is it Ryu? One more.
No, I don't think it was Ryu. I'll come back to that in a second. But okay. Anyway, no, and, you know, hitting-wise, you know, they got some good, decent players in Springer, you know, Guerrero mm-hmm. Jr., Bichette, Biggio's kind of come on. I know Kirk's kind of fell off a little bit. Varsho's been okay. He hasn't been totally what they've expected out of him. Matt Chapman, obviously, he's a pretty decent third baseman. So, with, you know, I'm kind of curious, you know, Chris Bassett, that's who I was forgetting.
There you go. Yep. He'll pitch game two, it sounds like. So.
Yes. And, you know, their starting pitching is actually very good. I know at the beginning of the year, you know, a lot of the experts were really down on the Blue Jays pitching, and I was kind of sitting back and thinking, you know, guys, I mean, it's really not that bad. I mean, you know, they had their struggles earlier in the season, but when they acquired, you know, Eric Swanson and Jordan Hicks and Genesis Cabrera, you know, I mean, that definitely helped a lot. Right now, I'm kind of, you know, as far as injuries, they don't really have anybody on the injury list that, you know, that would probably make a difference other than maybe Danny Jansen, that I'm not for sure if he's going to be back for this series or not. I want to say there was some talks about it, but I could be wrong. Because, like I said, they were totally worried about, you know, Kirk struggling. And then you got Tyler Heineman, who's their backup catcher. And, you know, he's nothing special. He's definitely just up there because of Jansen being hurt. But overall, I definitely think this could be a decent series. Like I said, I like the pitching matchups. Like I said, if the Twins can just, you know, play like they have been playing, you know, mm-hmm. the last, you know, 2-3 weeks. I mean, there shouldn't be any reason, like I said, that we can't win at least one game or even take this series.
Yeah, all it takes is two. So I kind of agree with you. Their history, they have had a lot of success against Kevin Gausman, so hopefully that holds, and they can maybe get that first game. Yep. And because I think if they can get that first game, it'd be great if they could get the first two, of course. But if it goes three, I'm guessing they'll throw Berríos for game three. And I think we know, since he was on our squad for a few years, there are times where he can get too amped for games.
Yes.
So him in a playoff game against his old team, that could work out.
Yeah.
In the Twins' favor.
Possibly, yeah. And so, I know Bassett, well, when I was down there for the Toronto game earlier this season, we had faced Bassett. And mm-hmm. I remember, if he didn't go six innings, he was pretty darn close. But, yeah, the Twins kind of chewed him up there. And I know somewhere between the fourth, fifth, and sixth inning. So, I mean, I like our chances against Bassett. So, like I said, obviously Gausman is, you know, the Twins have a pretty decent history against Gausman, but so yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be an interesting and nerve-wracking series.
Yep, they all are. This is when it gets nerve-wracking. And it'll be interesting because to see what Rocco and whoever else is involved in the decision making sets as the playoff roster. That's some decisions that are still up in the air there. A lot of decisions, I think, are still up in the air, mostly regarding who's going to be healthy enough. What I'm hearing is that Correa's going to be there. Lewis, they expect to be able to play, but might be limited to DH duties, which would really put into question then if Buxton would be available, because if he can't, he would then have to be able to play the outfield if he's gonna
the only other thing that he would have maybe any type of role otherwise would maybe be a guy on the bench who could come in for like a pinch hit or something. But yeah, other than that, I think, you know, like I said, if, like you had mentioned, if Royce Lewis is definitely not ready to go defensively, but we definitely will need his bat, and a DH would be a very good spot for him just to have that. And we may not find out till they play at 3:38. So we may not find out till noon on Tuesday to even know what's going on. So, I mean, you know, people can, you know, the reporters and everybody can ask Rocco, you know, what's your plan? And I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to put it on paper until, you know, a few hours before the game.
And so, he'd be like, he probably doesn't know.
No, he does not. So, which, so, you know, and I totally understand that, because you got a lot of guys that, you know, that are kind of on that edge of whether they're hurt or they just hurt enough, but they could still play, you know. So, I mean, you want to have your best guys out there. So,
yeah. Exactly. So yeah, that'll be very interesting decisions there. Also curious to see what the decisions for the bullpen are. Does he have enough? Have they seen enough of a Cody Funderburk to get him on the roster? Who basically are they, who might be the surprise person that doesn't make the rosters? Maybe. That'll be curious. I tell you, Bailey Ober made a statement today, I think, about his, he definitely deserves to be on the roster. Just unfortunately, I'm not sure where he would fit.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the other thing: you got right now the Twins have two lefties in the bullpen, and do they want to bring two lefties for this first series?
Yeah, I don't know, how many good lefty hitters the Blue Jays have. Because it's always good to have lefty pitchers, but and again, I don't know, when I think of the Blue Jays, I think of their right-handed power. So I don't know that they really have any scary left-handed bats. But I'm sure in later rounds that would be definitely something that. Because you can, and teams always do, change their rosters in between rounds. So, just because one guy doesn't make this round's roster doesn't mean he won't be there next round.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
So,
do you think Chris Paddock has shown enough to be on the playoff roster?
That's a hard call. Did he pitch today? I didn't watch much of the game today. He definitely is showing he's got the fastball. You know, he's throwing around 100 miles an hour. High 90s. So I could see it.
Okay.
I think I can see him do it. But he'd be a reliever, of course. But they'd be using him in like one or two innings. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a guy that I could easily see him not, you know, being a part of this playoff roster, which, and going down the list right now, they have Duran, Pagan, Varland, Thielbar, Jack, Stewart, Funderburk, Paddock, Alcala, and Maeda. Obviously, they must have moved Dallas Keuchel to the IL.
Yeah, he was put on IL today. So
okay, so and that must have been where Alcala came from. So that so Dallas Keuchel's already been eliminated. You know, to me, who is the next guy? I mean, it's like I said, his Paddock showed us enough. I mean, Alcala hasn't done nothing, so I don't even know.
He pitched. Pitched today,
he pitched today. Okay,
but and I guess I think he gave up a home run. So.
Okay,
but, and that's the only inning in the majors he's pitched in months. So I don't.
Yeah,
I think if he's gonna make it, it's because there was an injury that I don't think he's gonna make the roster. You know, when they have to set the roster, I'm sure he won't be on it.
Okay,
but if someone goes down, then of course he's an option, but. Yeah. I wouldn't expect him to be for game one. So
here's who. Okay, so they had Ober start today.
Yep.
Brock Stewart pitched, Alcala and Funderburk, and then they put Luplo in at the end.
Yeah.
Which, whatever reason. So the fact that they didn't pitch Paddock
didn't matter.
Today.
Yeah.
The fact that they didn't pitch Paddock. I mean, what is that? I mean, to me, is that kind of hint that they're maybe saving him?
I think it might. Yeah.
Yep. And my guess is because they're pitching Alcala, I kind of assume he's not going to be there. But, Cody Funderburk, I mean, he pitched one inning today. Yeah, he gave up a hit, but he struck out three guys in 16 pitches. So it's that's the hard decision right there. The bullpen is Funderburk. And it's like, if you want to keep Funderburk, are you going to, who would be that guy out?
Yeah.
To me, the next two guys you would have to sit and think about is it going to be Paddock? Have you not saw enough out of Paddock? But like I said, you didn't pitch him today. So even though he pitched Saturday. So that could be the reason why he wasn't in today. And then the other guy, Griffin Jacks, is Jacks on the chop block?
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I think they probably would. I'm guessing they would go with Jacks just because he's been on the team all season. I know he didn't have the greatest of seasons by any means, but you never know. It'll be interesting. I'm glad I don't have to make the decision.
Most definitely.
I think Funderburk probably, if they can find a way, they'll put him on there because he's pitched very well.
Yeah.
As far as I know, he had like one bad inning in his career so far. So
true story. Then the next question is, Jordan Luplo.
No, I don't. Nope. I don't see him. No, I mean,
all right.
You know, I don't.
And
I don't.
Do you? How about Andrew Stevenson?
Maybe if Buxton can't go.
That's exactly where I'm thinking. I think
because then he there's your guy out. Who's a defensive replacement and pinch runner.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
That's...
I definitely agree on that one. I just, yeah, Luplo is, because regardless whether it's just Buxton or if it's Buxton and Lewis coming back, I mean, Luplo is, you know, Luplo's gone, but Andrew Stevenson, yeah, I mean, Stevenson's definitely that pinch hit, or pinch hit, I'm sorry, pinch runner that you would like to have. So, I, you know, that's the thing, though, even if, you know, if Buxton is healthy and able to play, you know, or else is, or if he's on the bench and they decide to use him as a, some type of, whether he's a pinch hitter or roll. I mean, do you think he's, his legs are healthy enough to be a pinch runner?
Yeah. You, I don't know. I mean, the man is in the, I mean, when you think of him, you think his two main assets are his glove and his speed. Whereas we're not so sure that's the case at all.
Yeah.
Not so sure that's the case anymore if his knee's bad, which it is. You know, I think, like, I could see this, like, if they have a guy at second, then they want a pinch run. He could do that because then he wouldn't be relied on to steal a base.
Yeah.
Not that he can't steal a base, but I don't know. I think scoring from second, I mean, even a normal runner should be able to do that. But if you want to make sure your guy can score from second, he's still fast enough where he could do that. Where okay. Stevenson... Since he's, as far as we know, I've never heard of him having any leg problems or anything. He would be a guy who, if you pinch run a guy at first, but maybe I'm overthinking it. I don't know.
I don't know, but these are all some pretty good. Obviously, I got your wheels turning a little bit, so these are some, you know, obviously, you know, good situation questions on, you know, what is this team going to look like on Tuesday afternoon?
Yeah.
So
I think, I mean, yeah, I don't know if there is any more, but if there's anybody who's still a Joey Gallo fan, I think you've seen the last of him in a Twins uniform. So
yeah, we already know Gallo's not coming back. So,
Haven't heard anything about the possibility of Nick Gordon being available, so makes me think he's not being considered. At least nobody's been talking about him. You know, he didn't get back in time to make it into a game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think just those three guys are the question. And like I said, sounds like Correa is good to go. They just gave him the weekend off because the games didn't really matter to them. Why not give him rest when you can? With that foot issue, but he could have played had it meant anything. So that's the only one I'm certain on. And I think that's the only one they're certain on.
Yeah.
Then the bullpen decisions, final bullpen decisions will be interesting. And maybe if they don't think they need two lefties, and maybe Funderburk doesn't make it, but makes the ALDS roster, should they make it there? So, so it'll be very interesting. What do you think about the other series? Who do you like? between the Rangers and the Rays there?
You know, I like the Rangers hitting better. Yeah. I think they're definitely, in my opinion, they're better hitters. The pitching, obviously the Rays have always had good pitching, you know, up and down. And that's, you know, that's how they build their team. Texas has definitely got a decent starting rotation. But, you know, like we've mentioned in many, many episodes, you know, their bullpen is what's going to make or break them. I mean, their bullpen has just been hideous the last month, you know, or even a little longer. I mean, they were part of the reason why at one point, you know, that they had fell down, you know, that they had fell as far as they did in the standings, you know. Yeah, a lot of games were just, you know, they were blown by the, you know, their bullpen, but, you know, so I'd like to see the Rangers win it. So, you know,
I kind of feel like I want to see the Rangers win it, but I think the Rays are gonna, just because of the pitching, and it's in Tampa, and they have oodles of more experience in the playoffs, and and especially since I don't think it's known if Max Scherzer is actually gonna make it. I know that there was talk that he was gonna be available for the playoffs, but I don't think that's been determined. Because that might be a game changer if he was available. But I think I'd still favor the Rays there. And then got the in the National League, we got the Marlins and the Phillies, and the Diamondbacks and the Brewers. What are you thinking there? Thinking probably I'm leaning towards the home teams there myself, but I could see the Diamondbacks beating the Brewers.
Definitely a team to really look out for is, you know, the Diamondbacks. You know, and they were one of my, don't be too surprised if they made the playoffs team.
You did.
The beginning of the year, you know, this team has built a very good young team, and you know, if they weren't going to be in the playoffs this year, they were definitely going to be in it next year, because this, you know, these guys have the potential to be a decent team for a while. Milwaukee, I don't know. I'm not really. I mean, Milwaukee's okay. Don't get me wrong. They definitely deserve, you know, to be in the playoffs. But, you know, much like the Twins, they kind of came from a. You know, the NL Central wasn't the best division most of the year. You know, in my opinion, you know, they were kind of a weaker division, and you know, that division lead traded hands quite a few times. You know, Milwaukee's a good, respectable team. You know, I'm a, you know, Corbin Burns, you know, and those guys, you know, they got good pitching. You know, their bullpen isn't bad. You know, they got a decent lineup. You know, Arizona, I'm a little more excited to watch this Arizona team, because I just want to see what this young squad can do. So, and
sure,
if I was to pick a team that could, you know, pull a surprise upset, I mean, don't be surprised if Arizona is going on to the next round. So, as far as Miami and Philadelphia, as much as I would love to see Miami to go, you know, move on. I just don't think they have enough. The only thing, you know, they got a few pieces in their lineup that'll help them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, other than that, it's their pitching. Their starting pitching is going to be anything that keeps them in the game. I think Philadelphia's got way, way too many weapons, you know, all around. And, you know, they could also be a team that I think out of the, you know, between them and the other, you know, four wildcard teams, you know, or three wildcard teams, if anybody's going to knock off an Atlanta or a Dodgers team, I think it's going to be Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah, they've, I mean, they did it last year. Right? Yeah, so, yeah, if anybody's going to do it, I can see them doing it the most. I think we pretty much agree with those. But those teams that each of these, whoever wins these series will be matched up against, those are tough teams waiting for them. I mean, they're all good, obviously. Would be fantastic if one of those, whoever matches up against the Astros and Dodgers in their next rounds. Those are the two teams I hope get knocked out in the ALDS.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm just kind of tired of watching them at this point. But the Orioles, they've been such a good story. The only problem would be that it would reward their owner.
Who doesn't seem to want to be rewarded for some reason.
Yeah. They did do one thing right. They did come to an agreement where they're going to extend their stay at Camden Yards. They signed a new lease for the next 30 years. That was up in the air there. Their lease was about to run out. So at least they did that right.
Yeah, I definitely agree, you know. And like I mentioned on Twitter, I mean, I'm sorry, Nashville. I mean, you guys do deserve, I think you guys definitely have the market for a baseball team, but not Baltimore. You guys can have, I don't know who you can have, either that or start one of your own up, but
they're probably going to get an expansion team at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
MLB is looking, there's talk that they're going to add two teams in the not too distant future. So,
definitely Nashville. And then I know they've tossed around a bunch of other ones for like Portland. They've tossed around, you know, you never know. Oakland might end up with an expansion team again all of a sudden. So
I've heard Salt Lake City. It'll be interesting. How that goes. But that's a couple years away. Sure. So if anybody needs to get their time off, you gotta make sure that you're free by 3:30 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Well, I've been pretty lucky at work the last few weeks here, so hopefully I'm home. If not,
without having to ask for time off.
Yeah, I won't ask for time off. Hopefully I'm home. If not, I'll just be listening to it on the radio. So
you'll be home before it's over.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You're usually home by 5 or so, right?
Yeah, unless I have a mechanical breakdown. So.
Oh, there's that, I suppose. That's a risk every day, I suppose.
Yes, it is.
With a truck.
So hopefully that doesn't happen to you this week of all weeks. You had mentioned Jorge Alcala. He was activated, obviously early today, off the 60-day injured list, or was it either today or last night? I don't know. I just woke up to the news that he was, and then what they had to do then is they designated Gilberto Celestino for assignment to make room on the 40-man roster. So now if there is anybody who wants him, I guess they could claim him. Otherwise, I'm guessing the Twins would still like him, and but if not, they have the choice whether to, if he clears waivers, they'll have the choice whether to send him back down to the minors or release him to be a free agent. But they had to pick somebody to make room on the 40-man roster. Dallas Keuchel was put on the 15-day injured list. Not sure. I always wonder, like, what the point of that is when it's the last day of the season, but
yeah,
you have their reasons.
You know, whether it's to make room for somebody, obviously they had to, and being that Alcala was on the 40-man roster, they had to release somebody. So,
It was Gilberto, I think he had a pretty good season in the minors. I'm not sure if he's ever, with the way that the team looks now, I'm not sure he's going to be a fit.
No.
So he might find himself a free agent. He's not very old, though. That's the thing about him is if somebody's going to get him, he's still a young guy. So that'll be nice for him. And then this morning, Twins announced their minor league players of the year. Brooks Lee was named the minor league player of the year, and then Corey Lewis was the minor league pitcher of the year. So congrats to those guys. I didn't look up their stats, all I know is Brooks Lee. He moved up two levels this year, so he had a pretty successful season, I'd say. I know guys who follow it more than I do. There's one guy who said wasn't even in his top five of guys he would have given the award. Wow. There's five other guys he would have given it to. Wow.
Yeah. Way to be brutally honest, right?
Well, I'm just was curious who. But that's a person who would follow it a lot heavier than I did, so But either way, congrats to them. A little note here, the Twins are now not the only team who has the record for most home runs in a season. The Atlanta Braves tied them. They hit 307 home runs as a team this year. I tell you, I was going into the weekend, I really thought that the Braves were going to pass them because I think they only needed like three homers, but they ended up just tying them.
Oh, wow.
So
So I guess if you like that kind of thing, or if it matters at all to you, our Twins are still can claim at least that they're co-kings of the hill in that category. Of course, there's people all over Twitter who are just seems like a lot of bitterness on Twitter about the Twins. Well, there was at least one guy I saw about being mad that teams like the Twins made the playoffs because he was like, it should only be big market teams. It was bad that anybody who's not a big market make the playoffs. I looked at his profile after that, and because I saw that you had responded to that. And surprisingly enough, the guy's a Yankees fan.
what a knothead.
isn't it enough that you've ruined our life for the last 20 years?
I don't know. Like I said, you know what? You should have won more games.
Right.
So,
for once,
I don't know.
They had a bad year. Deal with it, man.
Yeah. He also probably just somebody that likes to just stir the pot is all.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. And then somebody else, maybe it was him too, but somebody else was saying that the Twins home run record isn't legitimate because the ball was juiced that year, which I know it's been proven it was, but
still a record.
Still the record. And if Barry Bonds is still allowed to be the home run king, then team record's still allowed. So
that is correct.
So that's all I can say about that. It's not their fault that the ball was juiced. It's where it is Barry Bonds' fault that he was juiced. I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before I bring up this last thing that made me mad?
Obviously, I think everybody in Major League Baseball, you know, fans, or even if your fans are not fans, you know, I mean, you definitely have heard that name about Tim Wakefield, who passed away what kind of cancer did he have?
Sounds like it was brain cancer.
Brain cancer. Man, yeah. 57. That's just, that's too young. So
it is.
You know, and I do remember watching him, and I was just mesmerized how in the heck he stayed in the majors as long as he did with his pitching style. You know, and that was, you know, and he pitched during, you know, the steroid era too.
Yeah.
So
before and after. During and after. Yeah, he was in the majors a long time. And literally because he learned one pitch.
Good old knuckleball. He was very, very good at that. It just amazed me how many guys he got on that pitch. So, like I said, definitely whether you're whether you're a Pirates fan or whether you are a Red Sox fan, I mean, anybody who just likes baseball should definitely have a lot of respect for that man. So, he was definitely fun to watch.
He's not a guy who's going to end up in the Hall of Fame or anything. Maybe the Red Sox team Hall of Fame, but not the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame or anything like that. But, you know, he pitched, I think, 20 years.
Something like that.
Somewhere. And, you know, he was a guy who was, I don't know how many people know this, but he started his professional career as a, I believe, a first baseman. I guess he was known for being a power hitter in the minors and in college and stuff. But I guess I don't know if he just didn't make enough contact or what. But and then they converted him to a pitcher, and the Negro brothers taught him a knuckleball. And the rest is history. The unfortunate, well, besides, of course, him dying, very unfortunate for his family and former teammates and everything. The worst thing that really torques you off about this whole thing is earlier this week, his former teammate and a man who's become a very controversial figure in the last 5 to 10 years, Curt Schilling, let the cat out of the bag that Tim was dying when he was told not to, not to say anything publicly. But he went on his podcast and did so. I haven't listened to the podcast, so I don't know exactly what he said.
Yeah.
But it is, he wasn't supposed to say anything. And he disregarded their wishes. And it's not the first time Kurt's done something like this. He's always making statements or saying things that people don't like, or that maybe he shouldn't. He's always trying to stir the pot.
In other words, a cement head.
Yeah, and you know, I can't say that I disagree. You know, there are a lot of times I agree with things he says, but you know, when you're told by a family or a friend or whatever, you know, I don't want this news spread around. You have to respect that.
Yeah.
That's their news, not yours. And then for him to die, that man to die like 2 days later. And as far as I've heard, Kurt's not issued any apology or anything for doing this. You know, just stuff like that. It irritates the crap out of you. You know.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. You
know? And but Kurt's his own guy. I saw I'm sure there was a lot of reaction to it, but the only the one reaction I remember is the wife of his old catcher Jason Baratek went off on him about revealing that news. And so at the time I hadn't heard anything about Tim Wakefield at all. So I was like, wow, why are you so mad at Kurt? Then I dug into it and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you got a point.
Makes total sense now.
Yeah, no kidding.
So hopefully sometime soon Kurt shows a little class here and apologizes for doing something he shouldn't. I mean, he knowingly did it. He is apparently in the one he was revealing it, he said he wasn't supposed to say anything.
Yeah.
So, right there, dude, then don't.
Yeah. Yeah, so. That just shows, you know, the total, I don't know, they're just, that lack of respect just shows you what kind of an arrogant a-hole Curt Schilling really is. So, you know, that he can't keep his mouth shut long enough. He's got to draw attention to him, even if it means, you know, announcing something that, you know, that's invading somebody's privacy, that it's, you know, that's something that not everybody, you know, needed to know. So, yeah, I totally get it. So,
just too bad. So there's my little rant on the thing. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the playoffs go. I'm getting excited. Always love this time of year. Sometimes when it's my team, though, I found as I've gotten older, I get pretty nervous. So sometimes to the point where I don't know if I enjoy it or not when my team's in it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand it. I mean, there's definitely going to be some butterflies and, you know, some nervous nerves and all that happy stuff. But you know what? I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you just sit there and hopefully they can at least just win one game, you know, so they can tell everybody to shut up about the whole not winning 18 playoff games and stuff. So
yeah, that it's kind of sad though, that seems like our goal is just to win one game. I mean,
yeah,
I want more than that.
Yeah, no, that would be great.
You got to start there, but I definitely want
yeah,
something to go all the way, but yes, winning one is the start. Did you ever get a chance to watch that video?
No, I have not. So it's been a busy weekend. So
that's okay. I think if you do get a chance, you'll enjoy it. That guy, his name is Chris Hannell. He put a lot of work into this and broke down this streak and just quantified. You know, he crunched the numbers and just shows you just how pretty much impossible this is to believe that this actually has happened.
Well, it's it's just another chapter of Minnesota sports.
Yeah.
True enough. You look at each sport, you know, the Vikings have done something that no other teams have done, that, you know, something bogus, you know, the Timberwolves are that way. And I guess, I don't know. I guess maybe the Wild / North Stars might not be in that boat, but
not yet.
You know, yeah.
So I guess the only content fans in Minnesota sports would be the any WNBA fans.
Yeah.
The Lynx have been pretty good.
Yes, they have been. I don't pay attention, but you know. I listen to K-Fan enough, you know, they talk about them, so
I just know enough to know that they've won some championships.
Yes. So
I could name you one player that's played for them. That's because of stuff she did off the court.
Lindsay Whalen.
I forgot about her, so I could name you two. Lindsay Whalen and then Candace Park. Is it Candace? That's Candace Parker.
I think so. That sounds kind of familiar.
The one who just retired a year or two ago. Anyway, she's done some things off the court that were pretty good, and caused her to meet the man she ended up marrying. So pretty cool. And it's also cool to us North Dakotans because Marnie Gellner is the voice of the Wild or the Lynx.
Mm-hmm.
But Do I watch them? No. Sorry, I don't. But our Vikings won today.
Yeah, that was actually, I don't know. It was turnovers. They won. Let's just go with that. Turnovers were definitely telling the story again, you know, earlier in the game. But, you know, if the Vikings
got one.
If they can just clean that up, you know, they've had 9 turnovers in the, you know, first half. If they can clean that up, there's no reason that they couldn't have been 3-1 or 4-0 right now. It's just, the running game looked pretty good. Defense definitely kind of came together at the end. Yeah, it's against a rookie quarterback, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Bryce Young might not be too bad. He might, you know, he might stick around the NFL for a little while as a starter. So we'll see what happens, but.
It was, and it was definitely weird to have to root against Adam Thielen for me. Didn't like that.
Yeah, it was definitely different. So,
so I'm personally glad he did okay today, but I'm also glad our team came out on top, of course. But he's had a solid start to his Carolina career. So, good for him. Proven. Maybe he's not so done. I don't know if that's why the Vikings let him go. I just think they just didn't want to pay him. Because he, no matter what, he is closer to the end than the beginning, even though he's, 31 or something. I don't even know. But anyway, this isn't Vikings talk. So,
maybe we'll start one of them in the future.
Maybe. Because we want to be miserable. No. Anyway. I think we talked about everything. I know we talked about everything I have put notes on here for.
Yeah.
There was a couple of managerial changes, I guess I didn't.
I totally forgot about that.
They don't really relate to the Twins, but they relate to Major League Baseball. The Giants have fired Gabe Kapler after 4 seasons, and the Mets basically told Buck Showalter he won't be returning, so he stepped down today.
Yeah.
Instead of, because they said either step down or we're going to fire you. So,
I'm not surprised on that move of Showalter. You know, the Mets had some, you know, they had some pretty high expectations, and, you know, they just totally melted down. You might as well, you know, trade off some of them pieces and, you know, start over again. So, I mean, I don't know. And then as far as Gabe getting let go from the Giants, I'm kind of bummed by that. I actually don't mind him as a manager. I think he's definitely a good young manager. Mm-hmm. I even told my buddy of mine who's a Giants fan who listens to our podcast, I kind of mentioned to him, I said, yeah, if the Twins were in the mess of getting rid of Rocco and they needed to bring a manager in or at least interview one, I would definitely put Gabe on my list. So I think he would be a pretty good fit.
I could see it. I was a little surprised by that because this is only his 4th year.
Mm-hmm.
It always seems to me when it's that short that it's like, did you really give him that much of a chance?
I'd say this year compared to most years, no.
You know, and I mean, one of those years too was one of the years that he was managing there was the COVID year, so it was a third of a season long. So, I mean,
And I don't, I think they went through some payroll slashing.
Yeah.
So, like, is that really fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and, it is what it is.
You know, and with, as far as Showalter, I don't blame him for the way things went with the Mets this year. At least not totally, but it's almost always the manager who has to pay for that stuff because you can't fire 25 guys. So that seems like that's what happens in those situations.
Or the old saying is, in horse racing, you don't shoot the horse, you shoot the jockey.
I guess. I never heard that one. Ouch. Not heard that one. But yeah, it's the way it goes. And it sounds like Buck was like not surprised. So, so we'll see what those two franchises do as far as replacing those gentlemen. And if those two guys end up elsewhere, or I could see Gabe Kapler's young enough, if he wants to, he probably will manage somewhere else. But Buck Showalter might be at an age where he's like, okay, this was fun. I'm done though. But who knows? But I always, people were asking, why not let them finish out one more game? And I'm like, I get what you mean, but they, at the same time, it gives them just a little bit of a leg up on searching for who their next manager is going to be.
Yeah.
That's the reason they do it. And then I saw an interesting move today. Matt Moore, reliever, got designated for assignment today.
Yep, I saw that too.
And it's totally just because he's not eligible to be on the playoff roster. And this way they don't have to pay him or something. Some amount. But it's just like, he's only your property for the next few weeks. I don't know why.
Well, it could be just me possibly opening up a playoff roster spot for somebody who may have been hurt. So,
it is. That's exactly what it was. And he had a good season. A guy get designated for assignment or traded as many times as he did in about a month's time. Unfortunately, he was caught up with two franchises who don't know what they're doing right now, in the Angels and the Guardians. Don't seem to know what they're doing. He played for both of them this year. It's going to also be interesting to see what those two teams do. We already talked about Francona last week, right? Because he managed his last games this weekend. So Cleveland will be looking for a manager. So it'll be interesting to see who those three teams hire and who else maybe will be shown the door. There's always a possibility that when you manage the Yankees and don't make the playoffs, that you're gonna be axed. And so We'll see if Aaron Boone survives. There's probably others too, but then again, it's not George Steinbrenner running the Yankees. It is one of his sons, but who seems to not be like his father in that way. A little more patience. So we'll see. That would be maybe the only managerial move. I wouldn't be surprised about if they decided to make a change, just because it's been they haven't won a World Series in a while. And that's apparently, as they say, it's unacceptable if you're a Yankee to not win every year.
Yeah, most definitely. So
it's been a while now for them, believe it or not. So anyway, now I think I'm just rambling. And I can't think of anything else to say. So unless you do, I think we can wrap her up.
No, I think we pretty much covered everything that needed to be covered. Obviously we didn't have, all the playoff roster questions, or questions answered, or, so it's, like I said, it's kind of one of them things we ain't going to know till, probably a little bit before the game, because, that seems to be kind of Rocco, his last minute on things, so.
Well, and in this case, he kind of has to be, because
he doesn't know. Yes, in this case, he definitely has to be, with the fact of the injuries, and, there's a lot of things that could, if one guy comes back, then, there's about two other situations, that could take part in it. So, exactly. We'll see what happens. So,
yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting. Everybody, keep your ears and eyes tuned to the Twins and see what they come up with. And, Lord willing, we'll be back with you, next week. Hopefully we're not talking about, we're not doing a season wrap up. Hopefully we're doing on to the next round.
Yeah, most definitely.
Hopefully, but we will end this now, and we will talk to you guys, hopefully very soon.
All right. Have a good week, everyone.
All righty.
Thank you for listening to the Twins Nation Podcast. You can follow the show on Facebook and on Twitter. On Facebook, just search for Twins Nation Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Twins Nation Pod. And Joe is at Big Joe Gunn.